This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
As we have completed our national celebrations, it is well that we celebrate as well the uniqueness of our Christianity. And Dr. Wyatt relates that it is Christ, whatever the cost.
Thank you, Dennis. This reading of Sharon's from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. As the confirmation that in Christ Jesus we have, only because of him, achieve the most important victory, whatever the cost may be. I hope you will stay with us.
I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I shall not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I wish to boast, I shall not be a fool, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me, and to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Thank you, Sharon, very much. Canada Day and our Independence Day are just past, and we hope all enjoyed these times of celebration and remembrance. We are in so many ways similar people. Despite our many differences, we are largely of one faith, Christianity, one economy, and our cultures overlap. We here play hockey, and baseball is played in Canada. Most of us speak something that resembles English. We vote for politicians and then complain that they are but politicians. We do so many of the same things, enjoy the same things, dislike the same things. We watch the same TV shows, many now filmed in Vancouver, as we have discovered on our trips to that city, rather than in Hollywood. Our hopes, dreams are intertwined, and our destinies, I fear, are the same, whether we wish this so or not. What Sharon has read is an interesting passage in that regard, for Paul will open his heart, endeavoring to counter the fallacious, even malicious, efforts of some in the Corinthian church. They have badmouthed the apostle, belittling his calling, his preaching, and his demeanor. Does this not seem to reflect how many in our cultures speak of our faith of Christianity. And now we are to see the stark and horrendous sacrifice Paul has made for our faith. And now he asserts that this has happened. The beatings, the abuse, the struggles, the hard work was all part of his ministry. Everything that happened to him is part of what God can and does remake. Now he is embarrassed to relate some very intimate details, but this, he says, has been forced upon him. I must boast, but there is nothing to be gained by it. But as others glory in their supposed wondrous spiritual experiences, so Paul must also glory or boast. And he now relates an experience few, if any other, have ever experienced. Certainly not his arrogant rivals. It is so unusual and powerful that Paul speaks of himself in the third person, as if it really happened to someone else. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. But as he will relate later, it is indeed Paul, to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelation that was given me. Few, perhaps, no one else has been blessed with so many visions and revelations, so much so that the thorn in the flesh was a consequence. There was the road to Damascus, in Arabia, Troas, even Corinth itself later, and surely many others. But here, as always, he shows great reserve in speaking of this event. He will speak of not being aware if he was physically raptured or if it was only a spiritual experience. And he will provide no details, only that he was granted a sight of glory, not because of some sudden psychic ability or an acquired capacity for mystical experiences, but it was through God's grace as a child of the Messiah, a man in Christ. The experience was of the third heaven, or of paradise, where Paul heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. And Paul, in mentioning paradise, is not simply repeating himself, but providing more information. Caught up as high as the third heaven, and as deep as into paradise, specifying the very height and depth of this experience. What he will see is beyond ordinary knowledge or the ability to understand, for he was granted this unique privilege for a time to move in the very glory of heaven, things unseen or unheard by any human this side of heaven, and thus things unable or not allowed to be shared. The third heaven, this paradise, beyond the clouds, which is the first heaven, beyond the stars, the second heaven, beyond this existence into paradise, where an abode exists, the very court of heaven, before the very glory of God's presence. Beyond the reach of sin and suffering, no fear of being cast out, as had happened with the first paradise. No shadowy existence waiting, but a glorious existence with Christ, awaiting the consummation, the crowning moment of redemption, when the ransomed souls are united with their resurrected bodies in a new heaven and new earth, when God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. This was in John Calvin's words, for Paul's sake, for one who had such arduous difficulties awaiting him, enough to break 1,000 hearts. Is this the key to his astonishing zeal and indescribable labors by which untold thousands have been blessed, blessings that have flowed not only to his time, but every generation since? Paul turns from this to reiterate that, as he says, on behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except for my weaknesses. Though I wish to boast, I shall not be a fool, though I am speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees or hears from me. Such self-importance is not only foolish to Paul, but false and self-defeating. It subverts the basic truth that to God alone is all glory due. We are to boast only in Him. Many fall into this error. Paul sought to limit the regard of himself or any other apostle as if they were somehow more than human. of elevating them to a position that they would all have repudiated. I know of those who consider their calling so special that they will not stain their hands with real labor. We do know what Paul would say of that, and of those who desire or even insist on distinct servitude towards themselves. It is the power of the Holy Spirit alone that can transform ordinary men and women into the extraordinary. It is ever the work of the Holy Spirit to miraculously transform lives in this manner, not by the appointment of some supervisor or bishop, not by election. No degrees, no matter how many, can possibly do what only the Spirit can do, and still can and does do for us today in all its fullness. But always the glory belongs to God. Now we arrive at the real purpose behind Paul's disclosure of this unique visionary experience. It was so he might glory in his weakness, might expose and explain his greatest disability, his great weakness. That I not be too elated. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being so elated. The amount of ink spilled over this thorn in the flesh is amazing, and we are still no closer to understanding what it was. Thorn in the Greek is a stake or sharpened wooden stick or a mere splinter. Yet Paul seems to imply of his body being helplessly impaled, almost held down in pain, and certainly being humiliated. As a messenger of Satan, this may mean no more than it was something of satanic origin or attributed to demonic agency, even though permitted by God for Paul's own good. But it may mean only that this thorn is the result of this, our fallen world, and as such, all misfortunes are, in a sense, a message from the realm of Satan. However, in this case, its purpose is to keep Paul humble, that he not be too elated or proud. For God will use him in extraordinary ways, bestowing upon him such an abundance of revelation. Just what was this thorn in the flesh? The descriptions have ranged from reoccurring headaches, an eye infection, malaria, to those that reject any form of physical pain or distress. But instead, it must have been the opposition of his kinsmen, the Jews, or Jewish converts to Christianity, or it's Alexander the coppersmith, or others that opposed him. There is, of course, the tantalizing reference in his letter to the Galatians of a bodily ailment that was the cause of him first preaching the gospel. And though it was a trial to the Galatians, they did not scorn or despise him, but would have, if possible, plucked out their own eyes and given them to him. Clearly, this must have been some kind of eye affliction, but we have no way of knowing whether this would be later called his thorn in the flesh. Yet the very lack of precise information concerning this difficulty was and remains a greater blessing to believers than knowing exactly what it may have been. For in this way it can have meaning to the difficulties of every believer. For we all face our own troubles, afflictions, and problems. We may not have Paul's abundance of revelation, but we all have difficulties. Paul three times will beseech the Lord about this, but the Lord will say to him, "My grace is sufficient." For Paul, this answer may have been difficult, as it would be for anyone. But this word from God is crucial. His grace is sufficient. It tells us that the prayers of God's people are never unheard or unheeded. But as Paul will learn, God's answers may be, for his reasons, no. But even with this, the answer does not come immediately, but only after the third occasion. It is as our Lord has said, our prayers are to be persistent. We are to keep asking, even if we hear what we do not wish to. But what is important for us to understand is to not receive what one asks for does not mean that we do not receive at all. The Lord's answers are never totally negative, but he will always and only give good things. In Paul's case, God's grace is sufficient. On a superficial level, in the most immediate sense, it would seem to be no answer at all. But when laid against the ultimate issue and the ultimate blessing to be had, it is, as in Paul's words, not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul does not resign himself to it, but welcomes it. His is a willingness for the will of God, which is a mark of genuine and great faith. For God's power is made perfect in weakness. Here is where we can see the entire focus of Paul's desire, his calling, his conversion, his trials, labors, and as well his victories and exaltation. Everything has come into focus. The glory belongs to the Lord. The more the servant's weakness, his inabilities, his smallness, his or her insignificance, the more conspicuous is the power of the Lord's all-sufficient grace. Paul does abound in joy always, in undefeatable security and faith, precisely because he trusts utterly in God's grace. God is not one to give us insecurity, for a believer resides in a power not his own. Paul will boast gladly of his own weaknesses, so that the power of God would rest on him. Human weakness provides the opportunity for divine power. When I am weak, then I am strong, Paul says. He is not saying nor encouraging some twisted seeking of martyrdom, of asceticism, or embracing dirt, disease, or destitution, somehow as a means of acquiring divine favor. He instead is calling upon us to be content, for it is for Christ's sake that we endure persecution, reproach, or injustice. It's not for ourselves. The blessings are always in serving our Lord, regardless of the situation and whatever the cost may be. Oh, my Lord, may we always embrace the truth that is our faith, that Christianity is not some weak faith that asks of us what we cannot give, nor without the positive and victorious conclusions. For serving our Lord and Savior is to bring meaning, purpose, and salvation to those around us. Lord, may we proclaim thy word with boldness and assurance, empowered by thy Spirit, even in our weakness or because of our weakness. For we will be part of that kingdom that comes on earth as it is in heaven, all for thy glory forever. Amen and amen.
We do hope that all of you enjoyed the recent celebrations, whether enjoying Canada Day north of the border or here, our celebration of our Independence Day. These are the times we as a people should celebrate our uniqueness as long-lived republics and our Christian faith to thank for our blessings. It is with that subject in mind that we are offering this week Dr. Wyatt's study titled The Question of Discipleship. This recent book is a scriptural and loving look at what it really means to follow Christ, which is our obligation as believers. We are to be disciples. You will want a copy, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Well, thank you just doesn't seem to say enough to those of you who have become a part of this ministry with your gracious prayers and marvelous support. You are such a blessing to us in so many ways, and we rejoice that you are a part of this work with us for our Lord. We depend on your love offerings, for that's what keeps this radio ministry possible, and God bless you for all your generosity. Doing what we can together will make this world a better place. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. And what better way to praise our Lord than with this report from Christy of Manitoba, who thanks us for our prayers and asks that we keep it up, as she says. I am so grateful every day for God touching my life, increasing my strength, bringing new health and healing to this body of mine. God be praised, Christy, and I do hope you will write. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now let us close with a favorite, Hallelujah, Our God Reigns, by Brett Younger. And until next week, praise our Lord, He does reign.
Behold the mighty breath of God, that calmed the seas and hung the stars. That very breath inside our heart, behold our God. He is the anthem of our praise, for we were born to bless His name. All the earth and angels sing, behold our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our God reigns. Behold the wonder of the cross, where Jesus counted up the cost. What kind of king would die for us? This is our God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. It is little appreciated in our current cultures how important is our belief in God for our liberty and equality before the law, but we should. Do write and share your thoughts with us. And remember as well that to stay on this station, we need to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Sunday as well, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is provided the basics for our life as believers and the obligations of being a Christian. This is an important study, so please do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Discipleship. It is yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.